All right, Genesis chapter number 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. We'll be reading the first, I should say there are three verses. Verses 3, 4, and 5 of Genesis chapter 1. Well, you found Genesis chapter 1, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'll read verses 3 and verse number 3 and verse number 5. If you'll join with me on verse number 4, we'll begin our reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to read Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd bless the message. Lord, I pray You'd be with the preacher as he brings it. Lord, I pray You just bless the singing here in just a second. Lord, I pray that You would just prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray we'd listen. Lord, I pray that You'd bring down that fresh oil this morning on the message. Give us a good message and a good service in Your name we pray. Amen.
Stood tall before the king, refusing to bow to the idol he had made. The king said, "Now, boys, that fire's pretty hot, and what God is yours that can save you from that?" The boys said, "O king, we're not scared to answer you. Our God is big and can save us, it's true. And King, if He wants, He can deliver us too. 'Cause our God is able to carry us through. But if not, God is still on the throne. He's holding tight to the future of His own. But if not, God's still building us a home. And someday we'll see that the victory's been won. Trials will come in the lives of God's children. Don't you get scared, for He still hears your prayers. He can deliver you from the trials ahead. Just stay faithful to Jesus and obey what He said. But if not, God is still on the throne. He's holding tight to the future of His own. But if not, God's still building us a home. And someday we'll see that the victory's been won. So know that God is still on the throne. He's holding tight to the future of His own. So know that God's still building us a home. And someday we'll see that the victory's been won. And someday we'll see that the victory's been won.
Good song. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. And very good. I don't know if that's one you wrote, Dan, but that's a great song. That one you wrote, that's a great song. Amen. I enjoyed that. He's gotten into this and does a good job at it. Enjoyed that this morning. I don't know what happened to this section over here this morning, but whoever sat there last week must have been sick. I'll tell you what. Or else they got sick of the preaching, one of the two. Amen. But you folks that are sitting over there today, the Germex is right behind you, okay? So on your way out, get you a good handful. And a blessing. All right. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what we learn first about God. What we learn first about God. And I hope that the Lord will use this to be a blessing and help to us this morning. What we learn first about God. Let's pray. Our God and Father, thank you so much for the good spirit in the service today, the good music. I've enjoyed it. My heart's been blessed by it. Been blessed by the fellowship to shake hands and look into a smiling face and greet each other. It's a wonderful privilege. We don't want to take this for granted. We don't want to overlook the importance of it, the value in it. Thank you for it. And we rejoice now that we have your word to preach from and ask that you please help us to open our hearts to receive it. And God, would you please help us to see wondrous things from it this morning, things that will help us become better people for you. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. When you first meet someone, you can usually learn a little bit about them right away. And then, of course, over time, you get to know them better. And you learn more and more as you get to learn them or get to know them better. When you meet somebody for the first time, you might learn that the person is serious-minded or humorous. You might learn if they are shy or outgoing. You might learn if they are optimistic in spirit and attitude, or if they're pessimistic in spirit and attitude. But there are usually some things that you can learn pretty much right at the very beginning. I remember when I met Dan Woodward. Now, I guess I should qualify that. I met Brother Woodward when he came out to Iowa to preach, to visit Bob Mace, actually. Stayed with the Maces, and the Maces were at our church at that time. And Brother Woodward actually preached in the pulpit that night. Wednesday night, I never forget that. I remember the text he preached on. He preached out of Acts chapter 12 and Peter getting out of prison and the church praying him out. I still remember the text and the message, the theme of it. And then when I first came to Bourbonnais, then I went to his church for a meeting one time just to sit in it and listen to the preaching. And when I was still out in Iowa, and then I came here. We were a couple weeks, I think it was, and they invited us over to the house in Dwight when they lived in town. And we had a meal together. And from that, that's when I really sat down with Brother Woodward. And from that very first meeting, I learned some things about my good friend. We've been close friends now for these 22 plus years, or almost 22 years since I've been here. And we know each other well. I know what makes him mad. I know the look on his face. I know what he does with his lips and his tongue when he's aggravated and somebody's made him upset. I know it. I know him very well now. And he probably could say the same thing about me. But I remember that meeting. I didn't know all that then. But I remember when I came away from that meal over in Dwight, I knew a couple of things. I knew that he enjoyed cooking and loved food. I knew that right away. And I knew that he was a humorous man. We laughed a lot that night. And I knew that he was a giving man. Had a great big heart. And oh man, how he asked about the church here and how his hopes were that the church would do well. And he was excited. And I came home from that first meal with Brother Woodward, learning a few things about him from that very first meeting. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we are introduced to God. If you start reading at the beginning of the Bible, okay, a lot of times you don't do that. A lot of times when you get saved, people say, well, read in the book of John or read the book of Psalms. But if you just open the Bible and read where God started, we learn a few things about God here in the first chapter. The Bible is the book that reveals God to us. And as we read it, we learn more and more about who God is and what God is like. But in the first chapter of the Bible, we learn a couple of important things about God. Now, the whole chapter is about creation. That's what God did in chapter 1. Yes, I won't preach this today, but it was God who created the heaven and the earth. We didn't come this way by evolution. Charles Darwin only espoused a theory. That's all. A theory, okay? That's unfortunate that our government school system puts more emphasis on theory rather than fact. Sad thing. But anyway, we learn what God did in this chapter. But it is in the verses that we read with Brother Bragg, verses 3 through 5, that describe for us the first day of God's creation. And from that first day of creation, we learn a couple things about God. We're introduced to God in this first day of creation. Now, as kids, and maybe even as adults, most of the time, the first thing that we learn about God from other people is that God is love. Probably the first song I would say 95% of the people in this room ever learned as a child was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's a great song, and you ought never get too old to sing that song. That's a great song. But that's what our parents tell us, or our Sunday school teacher, or wherever we go to an aunt or an uncle or grandma or grandpa, and they'll tell us that God loves us, and that's true. Nothing wrong with that. But when God started the Bible, when He put it here in Genesis chapter 1, and He began to reveal some things about Himself to us, we learn two very specific things from this very first day of creation that just jump off the page at you. I want to talk about those two things this morning. Number one is found in verse number 3. Look at it. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the first thing we learn about God from His Word is God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. God spoke light into existence. Now, people, except for man and woman, everything else in the creation was spoken into existence. You know that God took the dust of the earth and created man, formed him, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And then you know that God put Adam to sleep and took that rib and made from that rib Eve, woman, and brought the woman to the man and actually married them together, brought the woman to the man and married them together. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And no matter what our society might say or a spouse, and no matter what the protocol might be of our government, the Bible defines marriage as between a man and a woman. And God put from the first one, the one, okay? And so, but everything else in the creation, watch it now, was spoken into existence. Day one, you got light and day and night. Day two, you got the firmament and the sky. Day three, you got land and sea and plant life. Day four, you got the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, you got the animal kingdom. And then it was on day six when God created man and woman. Okay, now all of these things, day one, two, three, four, five, all of these things that are created, God spoke into existence. So that means all of His creation came about now by the power of His Word. Now, when you have power to speak things into existence, that's real power. That's real power. Okay? Now, all of man's creations come by a process. Whether it's Henry Ford and the automobile, or my brother and Simply Orange. And I love to tell that. I love to tell that my brother invented Simply Orange. Maybe it's a matter of pride, family pride. I don't know, but I enjoy saying that. Amen. At least he didn't invent Budweiser or something like that. Amen. At least it was Simply Orange. Something good for you, all right? And so, now listen, whether it's Henry Ford and the automobile or Tim and Simply Orange, the process, it began as the result of a process. The automobile came through the result of a process. And Simply Orange came by way of a process. A process of time and thought and energy and failure. Sure. And then starting over again and more of the same time and thought and energy and failure. And watch it. When Henry Ford invented the automobile, created it, and when Tim Angel invented Simply Orange, they started with something. And then they put time and thought and energy and into it, and they made the automobile, and they made Simply Orange. But wait a minute. When God said, "Let there be light," the Bible says, and there was light. And remember that He started with nothing and made something out of it. So He didn't start with something and make something. He started with nothing and He made something. And friend, when you've got the power to do that, that's real power. That's how we know. One of the first things we learn about God is His Word is powerful. And by the way, friend, this is April the 22nd. Oh, in fact, it's my brother's birthday. I got to call him this afternoon. Forgot that. Tell him to send me some Simply Orange. All right, but anyway, I got to call him. Just dawned on me. Don't let me forget. I send him a card, but I always like to call him on his birthday. And he does the same. But anyway, when you've got the power to speak things into existence, that is real power. Here it is, April 22nd, 2012, and I got good news for us this morning. The power of God's Word has not lost or been diminished one iota. Now, we all amen that, but I wish in our hearts we really believed it. I'm talking about the power that spoke light into existence. That's not been diminished one bit from 6,000 years ago to now. Unbelievable. His Word is powerful. In fact, His Word is powerful enough to change your life. Now, friend, look, you say, oh, man, I don't know. My life's broken and battered, and I've gone, the last several years, I've gone more backwards than I have forward. Now, stop. He spoke light into existence. That's power. Let there be light, and there was light. And that power has not diminished one bit. A God who is powerful enough, whose Word is powerful enough to create light from nothing, is His Word is still powerful enough today to change and fix your life. I'm talking about change. I'm talking about real change. I'm talking about lasting change. And I personally believe that there are some of you in this room who would love to have your life changed. And I don't mean that maybe you feel like something's just missing in your life. Something's just not squared away. And I'm not talking about having more money. I'm not talking about a bigger house or a nicer car or newer clothes. But I'm talking about change. Now watch it, girls. I've been watching you all morning. I want you to listen. Okay? I want you to listen. Because you're exactly what I'm talking about. God can change your life. But you got to listen. You got to listen. Okay? Now listen. I'm talking about changed to have a heart for God. I'm talking about changed so that you spend your life living it for God instead of self or the world. Because I'll tell you what people find out. People give their lives to living for themselves or living for the world, they find out that it leaves them empty. But when you live for God and you fulfill the purpose for which you were created, there is fulfillment in unbelievable fulfillment and contentment and satisfaction with life. And a lot of people don't have that. And I'm telling you that His Word is still powerful enough to change your life. You can be changed, but it will never happen apart from God's Word. Never. It will never happen apart from God's Word. Keep your finger here in Genesis. You're at the very beginning of the Bible. And I want you to turn all the way back to the New Testament book of Hebrews. If you brought a Bible, find it there. Hebrews chapter 4. And if you didn't bring one, that's okay. The verse is not hard to understand. We'll read it in just a minute. I want you to look here in Hebrews chapter 4 and find verse number 12, okay? Because one of the first things we learn about God is that His Word is powerful. And we learn that because He spoke light into existence. Now you get over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, and the Bible just flat out tells us, just spells it out. Look at verse number 4, or chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says the Word of God is powerful. And then I want you to notice the effects of this power. Piercing even to the dividing asunder. Now watch the wording here. Of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Soul, spirit, joints, marrow, thoughts, intents of the heart. Where are all of those things? Are they not inside of us? They are inside of us. So God's Word has the power, now watch this, God's Word has the power to get down, now wait a minute, to where change actually takes place. This is where it takes place. It takes decision and intention and sometimes motivation and thought processes. And God's Word has the power to break through all the hardness and the exterior and the outside and get right down deep inside of me and deep inside of you where change actually takes place and fix what needs to be fixed in us. Into our hearts, our thoughts, our intentions, our motives. You see, God's Word doesn't just deal with the cosmetic, the external. It doesn't just conform us, it transforms us. Listen, there's a philosopher from years ago gone by. His name was Sigmund Freud. And Sigmund Freud had a philosophy that the simple way to fix man is to fix his environment. Take man and put him in a perfect environment. Give him a house to live in. Give him money for food. Give him a job. Give him a car. Give him a cell phone. Take man and fix his environment, and man will rise to the heights of his environment. Poor Sigmund Freud. If he'd have just read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, he'd have learned right off the beginning that's so far from right. In fact, it's pretty nigh impossible to do, Brother Caleb. How are you going to have everybody live in Georgia? Minnesota, help us. That will discourage you. There was a man who was put into a perfect environment. Perfect. There were no thorns, there were no thistles, there were no weeds, there was no sweat. Oh, you said, I mean, that means there was no work. Oh, no, there was work. Just didn't have to work. Didn't have to work at the work. Came easy. And he ruined it. He ruined it. By the way, not much has changed. Not much has changed. Just travel around this country. Excuse me, travel around this country. And see where the government has tried to follow the philosophy of Sigmund Freud and put people into a perfect or better environment. Tell me what's going on. People, you don't fix people from the outside in. You fix people from the inside out. I don't have time this morning to go into the story of John Patton again. And I got to move on because I'm going to get bogged down here. But look, God's Word has the power to get right down in here where you and I, where real change takes place and change us. And it's not conforming, it's transformation. And an illustration of transformation is found in nature in the caterpillar. Listen, the butterfly is not a hybrid. It's not the result of two different species of insects mating. A butterfly is an insect that began as a caterpillar and then goes through the process of metamorphosis, transforming it from a caterpillar into a butterfly. That is a powerful transformation. Because what was once an earthbound insect crawling on the ground or on leaves is now an insect that takes flight and flies from flower to flower. That is not conforming. That is transformation. And that's exactly the kind of change that God's Word can bring about in my life and in your life. It cuts to the heart, to the thoughts, to the intents, to the motives, to the very core of our person. And it changes us. Friend, it's documented. The lottery has never changed anything. Documented. You can't change man by giving him millions of dollars. You change man from the inside out. And that's where God starts. And that's where God's Word comes in. That's where we are very thankful that We learn here in Genesis 1 that God's Word is powerful, and we're so thankful that His Word is still powerful today. It still has the power to change us from the inside out. Amen? Now, you know, I'm not against parents and pastors and Sunday school teachers teaching children that God is love and learning that song, right, Jesus loves me. But that's not the first thing that God teaches us about Himself. First thing He teaches us that His Word is powerful. His Word is powerful. Now, there's a second thing here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 4, that I want to draw your attention to, okay? Second thing in this passage that we learn about God. First of all, His Word is powerful. Number two, we learn that His work is good. Look at verse number 4. And God saw the light that came from the power of His Word, and God saw the light that it was good. So God created light through the power of His Word and then looked at it and said, that is good. Because the second thing we learn about God is God's work is good. Now watch me. Six times in this chapter, the Bible says that God's work was good. Six times. Do you have your Bible open? Look down at the very last verse of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 31. Look at verse 31. So six times down from verse number 4 to verse 30, the Bible says what God did was good. Now look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. I like our Every Word Bible. Because by the time you get to chapter 1, verse 31, it's wrapped up. Creation is all wrapped up. And God said it was good, 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 good. Six times. He stepped back, looked at all of creation, and said, you know what? This is very good. You know there's a difference between good and very good? There's a difference in that. This week, we tried to clean the floors, the foyer floors and so forth in preparation for the conference. And it doesn't hurt us just to keep the building up. And us men, some of us men, worked on cleaning the floors. Starting about 9:30, 10 o'clock Monday morning till about 4:30, 5 o'clock Monday afternoon. Myself, Brother Bragg, Brother Hall, who else was with us? I'm sorry? Brother Marty Lega helped us. And you know what? It was really good. It was good. It was good. And then Jenna got together. I don't know how many ladies came. 5, 6, 7 ladies. They came at 6:30. And they were going to just spot clean. You know, because we cleaned it good. They were just going to spot clean and get onto some other parts of the building. They started at 6:30. At 8:40, I came over from the school building where we'd been working over there, Brother Caleb and I. We walked into the foyer. And you want to talk about a humbling sight to see ladies with husbands and children on their knees, hands and knees, scrubbing. That's humbling. When I walked in, you remember that? I went, whoa. This is not just good. This is very good. And I hate to admit it. But when it comes to cleaning, you know, men might have an eye for good, but women have an eye for very good. Yes, they do. Very good. There was a marked difference. God looked at all of His creation, and God said, this is very good. Now listen to me this morning. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us about getting saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you've heard about salvation and being born in God's family, going to heaven as opposed to going to hell, and you're not saved yet, let me say this morning, it will never come by works. It is God's gift. Okay? Then verse number 10 says this, for we are His workmanship. Now wait a minute. This is not referring to our physical bodies, although God did make our physical bodies. But what he's talking about here, this verse is referring to our salvation, our spiritual life, the new, now wait a minute, the new creation that is worked in us, not worked by us. You listening this morning? Those are little words that make a big difference. The salvation that is worked in us by God. When we come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trust His finished work on the cross of Calvary, God creates a new person, a new man, a new person inside of us. And the Bible says that that new person is His workmanship. So when I knelt at an altar and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior about 36 and a half years ago, God worked in Terry Angel a new creation. Right? Okay. And whenever you got saved, God worked in you a new creation. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now watch it. Just like God created Adam and Eve physically and saw that it was good, God created a new person in us when we got saved. It is the result of His work, not ours. And this is good because God's work is good. And the day, the moment, the hour that you got saved, God began a good work in you. Are you with me? Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's get over there in Philippians chapter 1. Just spend a couple minutes here in these verses, okay? Philippians chapter 1. So when he got saved, when I got saved, when you got saved, God created a new person in us. That's His work, not ours. We can't do that. Oh, man, I feel so sorry. And I mean that from my heart. The sincerity of some of these folks who are trying to create this new person themselves. Try a little harder, work a little more, do this. Okay, if you're not there yet, just keep scratching away, keep clawing. No, friend, no, no, no. Salvation is a gift. You don't work and claw at a gift, you receive it. And God puts a new creation inside of you. Now look at verse number, chapter 1 of Philippians, verse number 6. Man, this is a great verse. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a, what kind of work? Good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, God creates a new creature in us. When we get saved, it's His work, His workmanship. And the Bible teaches us that what God starts, God finishes. And it's not that you and I become more and more saved. No, that's not. No. He keeps working on us through the new man to make us stronger, make us better Christians, make our lives, bring our lives to the place where we bring honor and glory to Him. God wants that new creation inside of me and inside of you to dominate our lives, to rule our lives with new thoughts and new intentions and new motives and new desires. From the inside out, because that's where real change takes place. When I got saved, October 15th, 1975, I came from a saved family. But look, just because your daddy and mommy and grandparents are saved, that doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. And I rejected Christ until I was 18. Then I wrote my grandmother, I wrote my family members, told them I got saved. My grandma Angel wrote me back. And that began correspondence with Grandma Angel that lasted for years. She always signed her letters, Love, Grandma. And then below it, she put Philippians 1:6. You know what she was saying? She was saying, Terry, I'm so glad you got saved. I'm so glad God has worked in you, this new person. But understand that what God starts, He finishes, and He's not done yet. Oh, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but God wants to work on you and work on you and work on you and work on you until you see Jesus face to face. God wants to work on you. And friend, God wants to work on you the same way. He wants to keep working on you. Keep working. And you know what's great about this? His work is good. And all the things that God tries to develop in us, all the different levels, if you will, or characteristics of spirituality that God attempts to develop in us, all of them are good. You do not have to fear the Christian life. You don't have to fear what God wants to bring you to or bring you into, because everything God does is good. Everything. His work is good. Turn the page to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse number 13. This is all about God's work. Chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you see that? To will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that works in you. And to do His good pleasure. And we're talking about work here again. And we're talking about good work. Good work. God, what God works into our lives is good for us. Listen very carefully. This sermon was all penned and written before, in fact, before as Friday, and finished up a tad bit on Saturday morning. I didn't know until about 8:15 this morning that Catherine Hudson's at the point of death. I didn't know that. You say, all right, then, Pastor Angel, I heard you say that at the beginning of the message, and now you tell me that God's work is good. How can that be good? Well, you're not thinking about Catherine. You're not thinking about Catherine. If God takes her life, if that's His work, do you know where she's going to be? She's not floating around in the cloud like Casper the Friendly Ghost. She is ushered. And I hope God leaves her here for their sake. And for Matt's sake, her husband. And Bob Ross and Kathy Ross's sake. But when you're talking about Catherine, with cancer-filled body, what a work that would be. If God ushered her right into His presence, do you think she'd have a complaint? It's hard for those left behind. By the way, I'm not being cruel. I got a brother in the same situation. His cancer hasn't progressed as rapidly as Emily's had, but they're giving him this, as Catherine's has, but they're giving him this drip now, and the doctor said, I just hope it'll give him better days before his worst days start. It's a matter of time. God never does a bad work. God's work is good. God's work is good. Huh? Listen to me, friend. What a God. What a God. You say, well, man, won't Emily weep and cry if her sister, 40 years of age, goes to heaven? Oh, yes, Emily will. Caleb will. Brother Bob and Mrs. Ross will. Matt and those three children. My heart goes out to them. But for Catherine, D.L. Moody said, is this death? This is glorious. It's my coronation day. It's incredible. It's incredible when you get this matter settled of your sin by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that's done. And God, you are His workmanship now. That new life inside of you is God's work. It's His work. It's not yours. And as God develops that and grows that and nurtures that and strengthens that and then someday takes us to heaven, His work is good. Work is good. God wants to finish what He started in us, building and strengthening us so that His will can be lived through us. We're not going to turn to it. I got to stop. 2 Corinthians 3:9, Paul said this, I'm done. Here's what he said, four words. He said, ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. Many of you were not with us. If you can imagine that ball, that back, if you can imagine from that back wall right there to the very point of this building this way, from that wall right there, from south to north. I'm talking about the wall that some of you folks are sitting back right there. That wall. 12 years ago, this was not here. Okay? And our auditorium was a little room. And we were jammed in there. We began saving money and preparing and paying off an old mortgage and putting money away and making preparations for this. February the 29th, 2000. I will not forget that. Leap year. Just like this year's leap year. February 29th, 2000. We were in that building, the old building, and we heard diesel engines rumbling. And somewhere, right out here where we are right now, there were earth-moving machines that had showed up on the property, and this building was started. I don't forget how excited we were. They're pushing dirt. Moving the dirt out, digging the trenches for the footing. Man, it was exciting. That started on February 29th, 2000. We moved in this building 15 and a half months later. Father's Day, June 2001, we had our first service in here. And now we have a building that can be used to carry on the work of the ministry that we meet in every week. But that didn't happen in one day. It didn't happen in one month. In fact, it didn't happen in one year. It took 15 and a half months of work to build this. And God said, ye are God's building. You are God's building. I am God's building. And when we got saved, it was like He cleared the dirt away. Amen. Pushed the dirt away and began digging inside of us footings for this new man and this new person. And He's worked 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 and He just wants to keep on. And by the way, you know the only person that can hinder that? It's me and you. One of these days, He's going to send His Son. We're going to be called up. We're going to see Him. And that new man will completely envelop us, the old man done away. Oh, we'll look the same, but we'll be that completed creature fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus. It'll be so good because His work is good. His word is powerful, and His work is good. And you can put the two together, friend, because God always works through His word. Always. Would you like to be changed? I'm talking about change from the inside out. I'm not talking about cosmetic change. I'm talking about changed. Well, you can be. It will never happen apart from God's word. And you can rest assured that whatever God starts in you is good. And if He started something in you some years ago, like He did me, He's still working on us. And His work is always good. Always good. That's the first things we learn about God. His word is powerful and His work is good. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I hope that you'll give me a little attention with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Just give me attention just for a moment. Wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, thank you for the message. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I want God to keep working on me. I'm saved and I know it. And I want God to keep working on me. And I don't want to interfere with that work. And maybe sometimes I get a little discouraged or depressed or defeated. Maybe even full of doubt that God's work is good. But I see this morning that God's work is good. And I just want God to keep working on me. Pray with my prayer is this morning that He will continue to work on me. Pray that I assist Him in that endeavor. Let Him have His way because I really want that. Would you raise your hand this morning if that's you? Amen. Thank you. What a beautiful sight that is. What a beautiful sight. Amen. I don't know. My goodness. There's hands everywhere. Thank you. If that's really true about us, folks, you know what God might do in this place through us? Oh, my goodness. Let's let Him work on us. He works on us through His Word. His Word is powerful. Let me ask this question this morning. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I have that workmanship of God inside of me, that new person. I know it. I know when I got saved, I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please, if you know that? God bless you. That's wonderful. You may take your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not lift a hand just then. I don't know that. I'd like for you to pray for me. Not by name. I won't call your name. I may not even know it. But you say, Pastor, I don't know that. I don't know that I've ever had God's work started in my life by being saved. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you know you're not saved. Would you just lift it up this morning? Let me pray for you. Just ask God to help you. That's what I want to do. Anybody like that? Front to back, side to side, up in the balcony. Am I saved? Am I saved? Something's missing. You know it. Something not squared away. You know it. Change from the inside out. Salvation. Anybody like that this morning? Somebody here this morning would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Somebody like that. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet. I need to. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I need to be baptized. God bless you. If you know that you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and you came prepared to do that, then you slip out and come this way. And we'll get you ready for baptism this morning. We can talk to you about it and show you about it and talk to you right down here. You can just slip out and come while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word this morning. Thank you for what you teach us about yourself. Your word is powerful. Your work is good. And oh God, may we put ourselves in the place, in the position where your word can work on us, and we know that work will be good. Help us this morning, please, I pray. In Jesus' name.